This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey, hope you're doing good out there. Hey, our thoughts and prayers with the guys down in Florida, the Dobmans and stuff. Man, I don't know just how bad things are, but I saw some posts, earlier that it was not looking that great. So, yeah, hope that they're doing well. I just kind of reached out to Bill here a few minutes ago just to ask him how things are down there. And telling my friend Tim here, so I lived in Florida for a while, man. It's beautiful. The weather there is just awesome, except when it's bad.
Yeah.
When the weather's bad, it's like, it's treacherously bad, So hopefully those guys are doing all right, but I totally understand if they're not going to, be on the call tonight. But hey, I see there's Billy Britt. What's going on, Billy? Hope you're doing good. Brian's with us, Tim's with us, Victor's there, and Ellie Ben's in the background also. So maybe this will be one of those times when the guys who don't talk all the time get to talk a little bit. I've got a big mouth, man. I can talk the whole time. It was like getting to be about 5:27 my time. And I was like, man, I don't know if anybody's coming, It was just like, and Tim showed up. I might have to just do this whole thing by myself. Could I talk for an hour all alone? Yes, I can.
Nodding his head.
But fortunately, I don't have to. But anyway, hey, if you're out there and you're just watching on Facebook or something and you haven't been on the call before,
checking in.
There's Adrian. Yeah, go ahead and join us. You can just click on the link in the event there, and it'll bring you right here into the Zoom call, and you can hang out and chat with us. And if you've got a question or comment or, something
you is can Bill share. Is Bill getting blown away with the hurricane or what? Is that why he's not here?
I don't know. I'm curious about that.
I wasn't asking something.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they're doing okay down there. How's the weather where you're at, Adrian?
Hot. I think it's hot. But yeah, it's better than that heat wave we had a couple weeks ago, that when it was like 115 degrees like for 3 days straight. You're in Santa Cruz, so you get to enjoy that nice, cool breeze. So I'm kind of jealous of that. Doesn't really get that hot there, doesn't it?
It's pretty nice right here, actually. I think we're in the 70s, and it was a little foggy earlier, but now the sun is out and shining. It's just like, this is the best part of the year, really, in Santa Cruz.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, we hit the 30s this morning for the first time this year.
30s?
Wow. Oh, yeah, we were in the 30s this morning up in the mountains.
Pass.
Yeah, it's kind of early in the season for it to be freezing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean we're pretty high in elevation, so we get a little different weather than the areas around us.
In the backwoods, ain't ya?
No, we're not in the backwoods. We're just up high.
All right.
Up high. That's right. Yeah.
So today, guys, I felt good. Great. I did this shower installation into glass tile. The whole thing was glass. It was great. Was putting my hinges on. Drilled the holes perfectly in the right spot. Drilled my screws in their place. No cracking. And so when I got done, I was releasing the pressure from the bottom from my jacks. And guess what?
Oh.
A bunch of cracks.
A bunch of them, huh?
Yeah, weight from the screw. I don't know, but I did put anchors in there so they could have some cushion around it. Nah, I didn't make it. Like, three holes cracked on me. I'm like, oh, damn. But I did warn the customer. I do have terms and conditions regarding that, and they still paid me, and they're going to just leave it like that. And I'm like, I apologize. I mean, they were perfect. It's just, I don't know, the pressure from the screws and the weight of the door. I think it just, I think it was too much. But I caught wood, though, so it doesn't make sense how come they broke. The tiles, the glass broke. I was kind of pissed today. But last tile, yeah. I should have used the pivots. I was thinking about, man, I should have used pivots instead. Because the curb wasn't pivot, wasn't glass. It was quartz. They put quartz on the bottom and on the pony wall too. So I was like, damn it. Yeah, it's just, oh man, it looked good until, like I said, when I was releasing the bottom, my bottom jacks, just to, you know, and that's when it happened.
As soon as some weight went on there, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the pivots, you know, then, I mean, you still have to drill the top, right? But there's only a couple.
Yeah.
Probably just one tile, you know.
So when you get, when you guys
pressure.
When you guys do the pivot hinges, I know you got to put one on the ground, and then the one on top, I know it has like the little leg that comes off. Do you put the hinges before or after, or what's the steps that you guys do for those? Because I've never installed them. I mean, I've done pivots where you had header. That's fine. I know how to do those. But when you're using to wall, what are the kind of steps that you guys do to make those work, like to get the install?
Go ahead, Brian.
I'll set my bottom pivot off measurements. I'll clamp my top pivot to the glass. I'll mount, you know, I'll put the door up there, plumb it up, make sure it lines up with the panel. I'll mark my top holes, hold the door out, drill, loosen that hinge, secure it. And then once my door is secured on the bottom, I'll take that top plate off again, and I'll block it inside that notch cutout so it can't go anywhere. Yeah. I just did one yesterday, and we used pivot hinges, and it was like, it worked out pretty well, except the one of the holes on the bottom pivot, I ended up, I mean, dead nuts on a screw head. Oh, I mean, you couldn't have lined it up any better. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And yeah. And I worked at it for a little while, and I mean, I was snapped a couple bits, and I was like, dude, I'm just smoking bits here, man. I'm not getting anywhere with this thing. So I eventually just gave up on it and ended up cutting a screw. And I mean, I grabbed, you know, I didn't grab by much, but I grabbed by enough. But it was like, you know, it was like hard. One of those things, like, you don't want to give up on it. You know, you want to keep going at it. And it's like, dude, how much time am I going to put into this one hole? You know, this thing's killing me right now. But that's how I mount them. I'll mount my bottom one off of measurements and then kind of line up the top.
I'm going to give them a try. I'll try them.
Yeah. Yeah, give them a try. Some guys love them. I mean, I find it easier, you know, for me. I think it's still easier with a wall mount hinge, but
yeah,
you know, too. I don't get any slippage with the pivots. I get, you know, I'm not getting callbacks for door adjustments and stuff like that. I mean, that's a definite benefit.
Yeah.
Brian, what I'll tell you, you don't need to have long screws going in the bottom.
And yeah.
For my guys just to do, not a real deep hole anyway. Use a 3/4 inch screw. Not going anywhere.
No. Yeah, and it's really got no tension on it. It's got no, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just want to make sure that the pivot doesn't spin, right? I mean, you just need to grab enough to keep it from
moving around.
Pivot, you know, the pivot from pivoting on the screw.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had to go into heated floors with them and had to, you know, go really shallow in certain areas to make sure we didn't hit the heated floors, and they've still been solid and been there for, you know, years. So you don't have to go too deep.
Now, when you're going into a heated floor, are you getting a layout of the heating elements, the pipes and stuff prior, like from the contractor or whatever, so you kind of know your placement?
With good contractors, yes. With the ones who are stupid, no. We have the ones, you know, running heated across the, you know, the break of the floor is an idiotic move to me. Typically, you're going to run one wire across, and if it's going in the shower, then you crisscross through there. But I've had a few that just go ahead and crisscross it right across the break, and then it's a mess. So we had one that was lined up perfectly with a wire. So we just went in really shallow and then put the other screw in a little bit deeper to make sure we were good. But yes, we try to always ask when it's a zero entry shower beforehand, so we're prepared. But sometimes that doesn't happen until the back end, and then it's a, you know, heat gun, and, you know, put the responsibility on somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I do pretty much the same thing Brian does. I'll mount my bottom pivot, and then I'll mount the top pivot on the glass. So then I can set the bottom. If there's a fixed panel, you know, I'll use a Whitlock clip, of course, at the top, you know, to hold it on layout, and then just set it in place. You know, if you get the dimension right at the curb, you know, so that, you know, you got the same reveal across the door, and you clamp, you know, those two panels together in the top right corner, it's going to hold your pivot exactly where it goes. And my little trick is I'll mark the first hole. Actually, I'll drill it in place, you know, that first hole, the one that's closest to the glass, and I'll mount that screw. Then I'll take my shims out. I'll take everything out and let it hang free so I can line it up with the fixed panel, if there is a fixed panel, and make sure that it is lining up. Because if it's off a little bit, I can note, you know, the amount that it's off and what direction, and then I can block it back up, pull that first screw out, and then move the pivot over to where it needs to be to make it line up right, drill that second hole. And then it'll hold it on place while I drill through. You know, you have to put that, the original hole, you know, off the original layout a little bit, which is kind of hard to do, especially if it's only like less than a quarter of an inch or something. But if you get that first screw in first, you can. Then you can come back, you know, put a plug in there or whatever you have to do in order to get that second screw in. Then it's just like perfect. Yeah, I like the idea of blocking that top hinge too. You know, I rarely do that. But because, you know, those pivots, I mean, they rarely sag anyway. But the great thing is you can do that if you need to. And sometimes if the door is dragging, you can also put a little block on top of the bottom pivot. Mm-hmm. And it'll hold it up a little bit higher for you too, you know. But I find those like real easy to work with. And wherever I can use it, I try to do that. I'm trying to do more and more of those as time goes on. I really like them.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing here too.
Yeah, I've been using them more regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's one thing that I do, that the bottom pivot, I twist a little bit towards inside when I have like a L strike on the panel. So that way, when I don't have like the five degree pin, mm-hmm. I put a little bit towards inside the bottom one, and then make sure the door is always closing.
Yeah, a little positive pressure on it, huh?
Yes, yeah. I don't know if somebody else does the same thing here.
You know, I've been using the Dobman's hardware from my shower mm-hmm. door. Their pivots are adjustable. There's a standard pivot is adjustable. So so you don't have to worry about that. You can actually, after it's set, you can tweak it a little bit, which is pretty awesome. That's one of the things I love about their hardware. You know, another mm-hmm. thing is just that it holds, I mean, they're so strong.
I mean, yeah,
they'll hold so much. It doesn't matter if it's a half inch door. I mean, it really doesn't matter how big it is. I don't know what the upper limit of them are, but they're stout.
Yeah, that is top-notch stuff. I used to work for a glass crafter. They used pretty much the same stuff.
Yeah. So that's cool. So if you can do that, I'd highly recommend that. I try to use that. You know, whenever I do pivots, that's pretty much what I'm using. So that's pretty cool.
Is the and time saver too the same as the Prima?
Yeah, it's similar. It's similar to the Cardiff. They're square.
Okay, but the cutout of the glass would be the same.
It's different, but I found that it will work with the CRL cutout. So if I'm working with in glass showers online and stuff, I don't want to have to do like redo the whole cutout thing. I'll just spec it as Cardiff. And the cutout's a little bit bigger than what, you know, they spec, but it works just fine. And it gives you kind of like a lot of adjustment, you know, not that you need it, you know, because the gaps are pretty tight, you know, but it's pretty nice. It's easy to work with.
Yeah, we've used multiple manufacturers with it, Brad, and we haven't had any issues with anybody's standard notch working with those pivots.
Oh, that's interesting. That's good to know. Yeah.
I think Southeastern's pivot hinge is different, and I haven't tried it yet, but their notch, I think, is different.
Yes. They use a completely different pivot style than C.R. Lawrence, FHC, HMI. Theirs is completely different. We used to use Southeastern back, you know, 15, 20 years ago. They completely went with a different look on their pivots. They even use a no-notch pivot for quite a while. No, I don't know if they still are because we've moved away from them now, but they used a no-notch style for a long time. Greg in Knoxville would know quite a bit about their stuff if you wanted to ask him. I think he used to – I don't know if he still does or not, but I know he used to use a lot of Southeastern stuff.
Yeah, so he's got me interested in it. That's why I was kind of thinking about it. Maybe I ought to just – check out Dobman's instead, but I open up an account at Southeastern. I haven't bought anything yet.
Yeah. Our struggle was just access to product with them. It went from really good to really bad really quick. And they were really good for a long time for us, but there was I don't know what happened, you know, 7 or 8 years ago with them, but we had some issues with getting product for a while. So but they have nice stuff. It's different. I like different. So they have a different look to a lot of their hardware.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
Southeastern Aluminum. I don't think they're going to be out your way, Tim.
No.
Florida-based company.
Cool. Yeah, I've never worked with that. So I mean, I'm not familiar with it, but,
well, they would be comparable to like Dobman's, a Basco or somebody.
Yeah, okay. Dobman's make their own hardware, right?
They're not making it. I mean, they're not actually manufacturing it, but they have their own brand. Yeah, sourcing their own.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I work with a lot of hardware over the years, and I'm really impressed with it. I mean, I really like Bill and Keith and those guys. They're great guys, you know, so it's like I consider them my friends. But all that aside, their hardware is awesome, dude. It's awesome, man. I mean, it is so like well put together. And it's just really easy to work with and never a problem. So
how long does it take to get hardware from them?
Pretty quick. I mean, I think like a week, you know. Yeah.
I mean, they're not technically distributors.
Right.
You know, so they're sending hardware out, but it's got a, you know, it's kind of relationship based on usage and how you're going to, you know, put it out there for others to see it, that kind of thing. Right. So, because they're not a distributor. I mean, that's
exactly
very clear with their stuff, you know, and they make that very clear because priority one is that they use their stuff for their business, you know? So, but it is great stuff. My big thing is I feel like a lot of guys feel like if they use pivots, like you have to completely switch to pivots. We haven't done that. We still use everything. If I feel like a pivot is the right thing to do, we use pivots. If I feel like hinges are right, we use hinges. I don't feel like you have to just like dive head first into one option and one option only. Especially with hardware access over the last few years, I've really spread us out to like having access to multiple designs, multiple options, and then we leave it open. So we're not so restricted by this is what we do. And if, you know, we can't find it, it causes a problem. That's more been my push. Is the pivots are awesome. I love them. Less holes, better distribution of weight, but you can't always use them. You know, that's just the honest truth. You can't, they don't work for every application. Hinges are still out for a reason. So I think just, you know, be open to all of them.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You guys like using the offset hinges?
Yeah, I do. Where you need them. In fact, even if you don't need them, they're a clean look, you know.
I use them all the time.
That's my preference.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you for that. It's cool having the hardware not exposed, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got some limitation as to, you know, what width and weight.
And then you don't have to take the door down. You can always drill in place because they're sticking out far enough where you're not going to hit the hinge. So
it's easy to drill those in place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
True. Let me ask you this. Have you guys ran into more? So we're running into more what we call a zero entry or a curbless design. And the tile installer will not bring the tile out past the break of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's causing us to have to use more of the offset hinges. I think that's happening more regularly throughout the country because the offset hinges are then harder to get a hold of sometimes in the finish you may need because that style is becoming so prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
We use them quite a bit. I don't know, 10% of the time maybe, but we use them. And for that one reason too. I think the problem I have is that, first of all, if there's not wood in the wall, you only got three holes, you know, to support your door. And if the tile isn't squared right, then the hinge can be skewed. Now you got to shim more than with a regular H plate or full back plate.
Just turn the pivots if you need to.
Yeah, and the pivots are kind of a good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd do that too. Sometimes if the wall's off and the door swings in, I just take the hinge apart and switch it around, switch it to a 5 degree, and then
it works
perfectly fine.
Yeah,
but it does add more work because like you got your door up, you drill your holes, you're thinking you're done, and all of a sudden, a freaking door swings down. Like, oh god! So you got to go back, shift back up, get it down. It takes more time. I mean, and sometimes you smash your finger, cut your finger on the damn. I hate taking those hinges apart. I hate it. I hate it.
Don't you have a little bar you put on there to turn it?
Yeah, the little tool.
Yeah.
What tool are you talking about?
They make a tool to put on the pin.
You still have to take it down, right?
Or once you take it apart, there's a tool you put on there that'll.
Man, I just get my little flat screwdriver and I just wedge it in there, take it apart. There's a tool for this?
Yeah.
There's a tool once you take the hinge apart and expose the pin.
Uh huh.
There's a tool you can put on there that'll turn it.
Well, let's see here. I'm going to see my bite right now. Let's see.
Yeah, CRL makes a little tool for that. Just order that.
Really?
I got one.
I wanted to
sit right on top of the.
I don't know if I've ever used the one that I've got. Because once you got this hinge apart, it's really, I don't know how much time it saves you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good tool to have.
You still got to take the hinge apart. I think it's just as easy to back up those two little screws and flip it over as it is to
use the. If that doesn't work, then you got to take it all apart and flip it over and make it go the other way.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the 5 degree deal in your truck? And you got a tool that actually changes the pin or something? Or what are you talking about?
Hang on.
There's a tool that actually just, you turn it, the little pin. And it sets it to the other side, to the 5 degree offset. It's interesting. Yeah, if you look on CRL's website, I'm sure they'll show you the tool and how it works, you know. But like I say, I mean, once you've got the hinge apart, once you've got it off the door and apart, I mean, it's not, it say it might save you, you know, that that last 5 minutes, you know, or something, but it's just as easy to, you know, back the two little screws out, flip the thing over.
And, right, right.
And then basically you're using the hinge to turn that pin. Well, this tool does that instead of using the pin, the hinge to actually torque it over or whatever.
Okay. Didn't know
they had one. Yeah. Hey, we're learning stuff. Yeah, I hate that though. I try to avoid that whenever I can. Oh my gosh, that little 5 degree thing. And do you like change like one hinge and not the other one? You change both of them? What?
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need. So yeah, because sometimes you can just flip one and that'll do enough, right? Get you what you need, you know.
If the door is just slightly ajar and you just can't get it to line up. There you go.
Yeah, Dana Higginbotham says a crescent wrench works just fine. So he's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. If you have a crescent wrench, I don't think I've got a crescent wrench in my toolkit anymore because I'm a prima donna. I got a toolbox like this big. It's got about 22 tools in it. That's all I ever need.
You know, that's good. You're not lugging around a ton of weight.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
I love it. And it's a little stool so I can stand on it too. Cause it seems like I'm always like about 6 inches too short to do everything.
Yeah. Right. I understand.
That's that. Just a personal thing though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not your problem. It's just my problem.
My problem too.
Yeah. Me three.
You got that too. Yeah. I hear it's going around.
Yeah, don't catch it.
We were talking about drilling holes, and one of my installers struggled. I mean, we do most of the shower doors that the only thing we haven't done is like a K-bow at this point. But we were doing a cambridge, and that's that stainless steel bar. And my guy was trying to drill, and he just kept burning up bits. And we do it all the time. He does it all the time. Mm-hmm. But this one particular situation, we just had a hard time. And I kind of have a theory because I had him bring back a piece of it when he got done because he finally finished. And we were able to drill it just fine. But it seems like he started out maybe with a dull bit and must have hardened that steel even more or something. But he even used new bits on a hole he had been working on, and he had a hard time. He kept burning up. He burned up like 3 or 4 bits.
That's an interesting thought. Is that a possibility that he actually like tempered the steel by heating it up?
But what is he drill? Why is he drilling a cambridge? Because those you don't drill.
Nah. I think he's actually talking about Serenity.
Serenity.
You know what? I don't know if it was a Serenity or. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't drill a cambridge. Serenity, probably. Yeah.
I hate those.
You too? I think I did 2 of those, and then that was it. I never did.
I don't like them either. I don't want it. Let's do the Chris. I stay away from those. Yeah, Serenities. I don't like those at all.
Yeah. But it was just weird that he couldn't drill that hole. It took him a long time and burned up some bits. Has anybody run into that?
That is weird. I think I saw that post. I think I made a comment on that post. On the,
did Christina send out?
Yeah. Okay. That was it. Christina posted it. And it's just like the secret to drilling like something really hard is, you know, low RPMs.
Yeah.
And lubricant, you know, I mean, and new drill bit's good too. But I wonder, you know, if there's something to what you were saying, you know, if like if you could heat it up and actually make it harder with a
what kind of drill
bit? Dull drill bit.
Cobalt. Yeah, he's using a cobalt bit. He went to Home Depot even, which cost him some time, and got Milwaukee cobalt bit. It has a little tip on it, and I never use those. You know, like a self-piloting tip on the thing, so it doesn't walk on you.
Mm-hmm.
He bought one of those or a couple of them and burned them up.
You know what's funny is that those headers are like thin.
Yeah.
They're thin. I don't know what gauge that steel is, but they're so like, which is why we don't use them, because like they're like wobbly. They're so thin.
Mm.
And I hate that having to drill on the site like that. Especially for something like that. But you know me. I complain about everything.
I know the fast nail.
And then you got to be spot on too with your hole. If you're not, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can kind of warble it out, you know. I mean, hope that the fitting covers, you know, you drill a bigger hole or something. But yeah, I didn't.
Have you ever heard of the company called Fastnail?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's who I buy all my bits from.
Yeah, those guys are pretty good.
And those bits go right through that.
What's the name of it?
Fastenal.
Oh, Fastenal.
Yeah, Fastenal.
Yeah,
I've got
two of them.
I think. But what bits are you getting from them?
I go over there and get them out of their store in Salinas. And they're just
the regular high speed steel drill bits, right?
Really good. I mean, they go right through.
Yeah,
it's right. Black oxide, or you're getting cobalt?
No, it's not cobalt. Let me see if I can find. Let me go see if I can find it.
Okay, if you guys go past a Mack truck, a Mack, they have a set of drill bits, $400 though. Okay, lifetime warranty. You break one, get dull, they'll replace it. I bought set, and I'll never go. I don't have to go anywhere to buy bits anymore. My breaks, I call them up, they bring me one right to my front door, I replace it, boom, done.
Wow.
$400 though. But
$400 buy-in, you're set for life.
Set for life. You know, even if I lose one, they'll still replace it for me.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, that right there is an excellent.
It is a big, I mean, I would walk to my truck and grab it for you guys, but my truck's on the other side of my shop, and I feel like, fuck.
Oh yeah. No, don't hurt yourself.
But it's a big box. It has so lifetime.
It's got a lot of drill bits in it, huh?
Oh, it has so much in there. It has every size you need. It's a nice set. $400 though.
$400.
Worth every dime.
Bargain at twice the price.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So I've already broken some. Messed them up, bit one. Oh yeah, no problem.
So this is what I buy from Fastnail. It's a T190-AG jobber.
A jobber.
Yeah.
So that'll drill through like anything.
They work great.
Jobbers are what you should have. Like even like Brian drilling through that screw head. That's what you use a jobber for.
They'll go right through anything.
Yeah.
T190-AG jobber.
Okay. And they come in like whatever size you need, I suppose.
Yeah, they have all the sizes, you know. Quarter 3/16, 964, so, you know.
But they were writing this down. I think I might just do that myself.
Yeah. T190-AG. AG.
Yeah.
Jobber.
Awesome.
I
used to have one down the street, and then they closed the place, so I have to go to Salinas now.
Oh, yeah. We had one down Santa Cruz, down near downtown. It's probably still there. I haven't been there in a long time. Years.
Yeah, but they're good for, you want stainless steel lag bolts and stuff. I mean,
Yeah, certain things. I mean, it makes it easy. You can get caulk there. You can get a lot of different things. Screws, you know, stainless stuff. And Yeah. They're a good supplier.
I like that supplier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have anybody here that's tempering? I mean, because it seems like we don't have a lot of the folks today, probably because of the storm, but I have a tempering question also. We can hold off if you got more to talk about.
We don't. Nobody is here.
Okay. You guys ever experience like a tiger stripe on the glass that you normally don't see it, but this customer, I've got low iron shower guard. And so when they take a shower, okay, they see these tiger stripes on, where it steams up. Okay, now it's doing its job. It's staying clean. They're not having any problems with spotting or anything else. I was just wondering, is that a tempering thing, you know, from the rollers, or is that
that's an OCD thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. But I told these people that what I can do is talk to some of the people in my group and, you know, just see what they say. And,
Seek therapy is what I would say. I mean, if you're tripping on the pattern that happens on your glass when it steams up, you need professional help.
Right.
Well, we're changing out a door right now to semi-frameless, streaks all over it when it steams up. They won't pay their balance unless we change the door out. So something wouldn't bother me, but what do you do when you need the balance paid on the shower?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have like a certain percentage of customers like that. That's just going to, you know, you're just going to have to eat that. You know, I remember hearing somebody telling a story, a sales guy, long time ago, many years ago, he told a story about he was working at like a Kmart or something. And somebody brought in a big wheel. Remember big wheels?
Yeah.
Someone brought in a big wheel. It was broken. It was like obvious they drove their car over, right? And there was this manager and then his, you know, his associate, sales associate, whatever, you know, and guy came in to return it. And the green guy was like mad. He didn't want to refund the guy his money. And the wiser manager guy was like, hey, look, there is a tiny fraction of customers that are like this, and it's worth it just to give them their money back. And it's that really stuck with me. And my experience has been like that. There's probably like maybe 5%, less than that, 3% of customers that are just unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Unreasonable. And like, there is such a thing as like mental illness and stuff like that. I mean, there are people who just like, they really can't cope in the real world. And you're never going to explain it to them. You're never going to get through to them. You're better off just, you know, paying the bill, you know, walking away, get away from that thing, you know, as quickly as you can. And it's making a note, you know. In your log, it's like, hey, yeah, watch out for this guy in the future. Because the world's just not, we don't have a perfect world, you know. And
well, they need to have an app. I've said this a million times to a million people, but they need to have a tradesman's app that they can rate customers.
Yelp for owners, right?
What's that?
Yelp for owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a sales
I would subscribe to that and pay money.
Mm-hmm.
Me and a buddy actually talked about like starting something like that for real.
Well, I've talked about it, but I don't know. I've talked about it. But my son-in-law would be one that could actually do an app. You know, he does hard coding and stuff. So,
nice. Yeah.
You got to have a feature where you can turn off their Google reviews as soon as you review them, though.
I'll get you.
You got to have that feature.
It's like Airbnb. We have one and people review it. My wife.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Airbnb. They do that.
Yeah. And these people will
review
the stuff.
It's kind of the same thing on eBay. If you shop on eBay, you can rate your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everybody signed up. You see, the problem is people are in the private domain unless they put themselves in public domain. Now, we're all operating in the public domain. We've all went out and got a license, got a fictitious business name, got a corporation, whatever. All those things place us squarely in the public domain where we have a target on us, you know, whereas a private individual doesn't have to. I mean, they can do business with who they want and then slink back off into the shadows. And there's really no way that you can, like, you know, ID them or review them, you know, but I don't know. I mean, if you get into a certain, you know, relationship where, you know, people put themselves out there where they can get rated, and then you can, you know, but.
Well, one problem is there's a lot of contractors that are not very good contractors, and then they wouldn't be good at rating customers, and they'd probably be the ones at fault a lot of times. So it would have to be something that would take that into account. But anyway.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It's tricky.
It's tricky. Yeah. That's not my gig.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sales rep once, really nice guy. He told me glass was to look through and not at. And another time he came down to look at this house, the window washer scratched all the glass. And he stood there and told the owner, he goes, "You have an employee problem." You know. I mean, this guy was a crusty little salesman.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, getting back to like Adrian's first thing, he was talking about drilling that glass tiles. Uh-huh. And, you know, kind of the bad day that he had doing that.
It was terrible, dude. Man, it was and all of a sudden, here they come. Damn crackheads, man. I'm crackheads.
Did you shove the plug through the tile?
What was that?
Did you shove the plug through the tile?
No.
Oh.
Should I have done that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. I didn't. Well, I drew I drilled a quarter inch hole instead of my normal 3/16 because, you know, the screws that I use, they require 3/16. But, yeah, so I drilled it. I should have did 5/16.
Yeah, I'll do 5/16 in the glass tile.
Say what?
Yeah, I couldn't get a hold of to any 5/16 bits this morning, so I had to do what I had. So, but like I said, everything went good, and then all of a sudden, took off my jacks in the bottom, and the weight just dropped. And the weight didn't drop, but I think just the pressure of the glass.
How big was the door?
What was that?
How big was the door?
I was a 30 inch door by 80.
No.
Oh.
What'd you do?
Not super big.
What was that?
Did you use a full back hinge on it or?
No, offset. I wonder if that could have been it. The problem with the offset. I don't know. I don't know, but like I said, the customer knew ahead. I have terms and conditions. I send all my customers and a job like that, I always cross my I's, dot my T's when I explain to customers, hey, this could happen, and I'm not responsible to replace
painted the tile, glass tile, or anything, so they understand from the minute. And so, yeah, there were, unfortunately, you know, it happened. They knew about it. You know, they had to pay me my balance. That was it. That was it. I told them that I would take down the door at no cost if they repair it. But that was part of the deal. And I didn't want to do it, but they kept on poking the bit.
That's a good compromise. You know, it's like, hey, I'll tell you what, if the tile's cracked, I'm willing to take the door down, like put it back in.
Usually I'm saying, hey, you know, because everything is written in my terms and conditions. It's all in there. It's all written, you know, down to the tiniest thing. And but I'm nice enough to do that because it was an expensive unit. It was almost $5,000 for the shower door. So, yeah. But it was fast. I mean, even the plumber that had a hard time that was putting on the valve and stuff, he broke the tile. It cracked on him. Where I was like, okay. You know, it's like, you know, I did not want to do it. I swear. That's why my price was high. And it kept on poking me to do it. Fine. So I ended up doing it for them.
And I had a job once where the lady wanted, it was glass tile, and she wanted me to follow the grout line. And I said, no way. You know, I'll blow those tiles apart. And then plus, glass doesn't come what you want it. It's off here, you know. So I moved out just a little bit, and then she went ballistic. Screwed the contractor, not, you know, nothing I had, you know. It was a disaster. But I didn't break any tile, though.
That's good. Well, here's a thing about that I thought about. It's probably scrolling on the internet somewhere, and then I saw this ad for this stuff that fixes like cracks, right? I'm sure you've seen it. It's like glue and a syringe, right? Used for like a windshield or something to fill those cracks in. And I thought, wow, I wonder if that stuff would work on glass tile. If you cracked a glass tile, if you couldn't fill that stuff with that, because like there's no way I would trust that stuff like on my windshield, you know, to be like permanent or to solve it. But I have a feeling that for a glass tile, if it would even like camouflage, you know what I mean? If it would even hide it, that would be a great solution. So I bought some of that stuff and I put it in my glove box. And it's still in my glove box. Like, I haven't had to drill any glass tile.
Probably has a use-by date on it, too.
It probably does. I'm sure it expires. You know? But what do you think? Do you think that's a clever idea? Do you think it might work?
Yeah, I'm sure it's a dull store in hot places, too.
Yeah, right, I'm sure. I'm sure you're right. Can't remember what I paid for it, you know, but I thought, man, that would be brilliant if that worked.
Well, there'll be people at the show who sell that kind of stuff, and maybe we could ask them.
Yeah, if it works on glass tile, I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't. It's made for glass. I mean, then like the little demonstration video there, it's usually they're working on a windshield, right? And they're like, just, you know, they've got a syringe and they're kind of filling in the crack on the windshield.
Well, it works good on windshields, though.
It does.
I've had, you know, starbursts in my windshield numerous times and had it fixed.
If it works on a windshield, I know it would work on glass tile.
We fix rock chips here. And it's a whole different. Yeah, I mean, I thought when I broke the tile this morning, I was like, I wonder if that would work. But then, there's too many cracks. I ain't gonna waste my time.
Well, you'd have to have it with you.
I thought about it.
I mean, I don't know where you would go pick some up. Like, I don't know if you can go to Home Depot and get some. Maybe you can.
No, I buy.
You can get the stuff at Home Depot.
Really? See, because
yeah, not the same exact stuff, but they say it's for, like, you know, like if you break a wine glass or something, it'll like kind of glue it back together. And
yeah, because all of that stuff, you don't really have to fix the crack. You just have to hide it, right?
Go away.
Make it go away. And especially, you know, in your situation where the customer already knows, like, oh man, you know, this is on me. If you could pull something out and go like, hey, check this out. Let's see if this works. And you squirt a little of that stuff in there. And if it made it go away, then you'd be like a superhero. Think about it. I'm not saying it'll work. I'm just saying it might work.
Try it and report back to you.
That's right. Because I'm not going to be drilling any last time. So that's probably never going to happen for me, but it could happen for you.
Yeah, we will.
It's doable.
You know, one other thing, somebody was telling me that talking about drilling problems, quartzite. Okay. If you run into quartzite ever, that stuff is the hardest stuff in the world.
Quartzite.
Not quartz, but quartzite, natural quartz, basically. Not man-made. Has anybody had that experience?
I think that's what I'm drilling on a deck right now. Quartzite.
Yeah, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, there's some, like, granite that is, we were doing this job right down on the beach. There was three showers. And the first one I went into, it was all granite. They put in like big, huge slabs of granite, the whole bathroom. These guys must have had just money to burn. And so went into the first one and it was like, you know, no problem, drilled it. The second one, same thing. The third one had a different kind of granite than the other two. I started drilling that and drilling. I mean, I could not drill through it. I mean, I was going through bit after bit. I was trying like all the different kinds of bits.
It's quartzite.
Yeah. Yep. And then finally what I did is like I went back to my shop and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to. It was getting late in the day. I was like, yeah, I'm just pulling off of here for the day. Next day, I brought back my corded DeWalt rotohammer. And plugged it in that thing, you know, because I'm just always using cordless tools, probably like everybody else, you know. And so I brought back an electric DeWalt rotohammer, and that made pretty quick work of it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, you probably used a different kind of bit. You didn't use
masonry drills, just like the 6-inch. I use the ones I'm using now are the ones that come from Scott Industries, I like their drills. I'm trying to think of what they're called. Oh, I'll probably think of it. But they're six inch rotohammer drill bits, you know, regular masonry drills.
You ever use the Realton bits? They sell them on CRL.
I think it's basically the same thing.
Real sharp at first.
Yeah.
And they cut real good at first.
Right. Yeah,
I can see that working, but you know, I was spending I think about $6 or $5 or $6 a bit for one of those.
Yeah. You're gonna go through. I mean, it's still way cheaper than my time. You know, I mean, go through. I went through a dozen of them for sure.
Well, I tell you what, we had one where the guy had neo-angle. Big neo angle had quartzite caps with big overhangs. I mean, we had to cut into them to slide the glass into it, just glass panels. I went out and bought a quartzite blade, and it has a lot more diamond in it, and it has grooves to get the dust out. And, anyway, $50 basically. So, it was successful. I'll just say it was successful. I was real proud of my guys for getting it done. And So it was a very tricky shower. But, you know, I just wanted to bring up the quartzite thing because you guys, I've been told that it's kind of a newer thing. I've run into it a few times through the years. But you ought to be prepared for it. Like if you know or suspect it might be something other than granite, because it looks kind of like granite. Mm-hmm. It will cost you in some bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just, you know, I just left that rotohammer that after that, I just left that in my van. Cause I've got plenty of room in my van for stuff. Just don't want to haul a whole bunch of tools that I don't need. But if I need that thing once every 5 years, I'll be super glad that I hauled it with me everywhere I went for 5 years. You know, next time I use it, because
Hilti
made a huge difference.
They were great.
Hilti?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Back when I was in the commercial class, man, that was Hilti makes some great tools.
I've got one that's still in the metal case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That weighs a ton. Then I have a newer one. That's what I use. We're doing a 100 feet of glass railing in the quartzite stone.
Oh, yeah. A big old, like, Hilti.
And it went right through it. But it burned. I mean, I bought a Milwaukee bit and it worked. And then I went to Hilti and got their bits and they worked. Because they take the same shank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a lot better luck with the Hilti bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Back when we first started using Hilti, the end would go off in concrete and still drill a hole through.
Yeah. They're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Have to agree. Yeah, that was back when, back in the day, you know, before we had really powerful battery-operated tools, you know, there's like Makita, you know,
the long battery, Makita with the long battery.
I mean, it was great, you know, for a couple holes, and especially if there was some place where, you know, you really couldn't get power to, you just had to go drill a hole. It was like it would save the day, you know.
Battery only lasts like 20 minutes, though.
Yeah, but then other than that, we would take like an extension cord. And change out the cord instead of the little, you know, whatever 3 foot cord, put on like a 15 foot cord so that you could, you know, make it easier to work with. Yeah. Wrapped up a lot of cords in my day.
Hey, Brian, you're making us tired, you know?
Exhausting.
You're making us tired.
Tell you what, I don't know what the Sam Phillips is doing. Looks like he's out in nature.
Hey, so this glass show.
Yeah.
How many of you guys are going?
I'm going.
I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there. Hey, well, I want to say before we jump off, I want to let everybody know we are going to do something on Tuesday night. I know Bill's talked about doing something on Monday, but we are going to do something on Tuesday night at Topgolf. I'm working on pairing up with somebody a little bigger than we are. You know, we're not a big, you know, real big group. So pairing up with somebody else to tie in with me on it. And I want to make sure everybody that's in the Zoom calls that wants to be there and is going to be in Vegas plans on being there Tuesday night. So probably like a Top Golf.
Just
like a driving range. You don't have to hit golf balls if you don't want to hit golf balls.
Oh.
But we'll have food, drinks if you want to get your own drinks. But it'll be a good time. Something like, so you don't have to go sit in a restaurant and have uncomfortable conversation. Everybody can hang out and lounge and eat bad food and drink whatever you want, hit some golf balls if you want. But we're I won't say it's 100%, but we're real close to getting it locked in. Talking with them, but I want to make sure everybody that's here, that's going, plans on being there. We're trying to determine time because West Coast guys want to do it late, and late for West Coast guys means like super late for us East Coast guys. So I don't know if I can make it past, you know, midnight East Coast time, you know, doing it over there. So trying to figure that out, but make sure you plan.
Where is it at in Vegas?
Tim, I couldn't tell you, buddy. I'd have to pull the map up and look at it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Google Maps. Google's going to tell me where it's at. Yeah, exactly. Google's going to tell me where it's at. It's near the strip. I mean, because
the cab's going to take me there.
Yeah, the view from the Topgolf looks out onto the strip. So it's got to be right there somewhere.
Near the strip. So I'll be there.
Yeah.
We got one.
2 hours. 2 hours. We'll probably do it like late dinner or after dinner, you know, something like that.
That sounds fun.
So everybody plan on it. And I want to definitely see everybody there. We'll have spots for, we're hoping like 30 or 40 people. So we got to make sure we pack it out and have a good time, you know, with all the shower guys. So cool.
There you go, man.
And gals. Shower guys and gals.
And gals. So, absolutely.
And gals.
You betcha.
So everybody plan on that.
Well, thanks, Billy.
Details.
Thanks for heading that up, man. That was really cool of you. You took the initiative, man. You don't have to be in charge to take charge. That's what I always say.
Kind of messed up. You didn't ask me what my pronoun was.
You say what's the pronoun?
Come on.
Chill on that, dude.
I don't even know what a pronoun is.
We're not in California.
What do I look like? An English major or something? All right, guys. See you next week, man. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.